The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Reddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, co-host, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Look us up on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Today, we have Andy Tay for the fourth week in a row. Andy is a regional manager with Orkin Pest Control for the last 22 years. May I please have some background on you and your company?
Thanks, Jackie. Hey, thanks for having me again. Again, I worked in pest control for 22 years, Purdue University for Entomology, AIB, a few other courses over the years. Orkin, world's largest pest control company out of Atlanta, Georgia. I've done very well for them. They've done very well for me, and I really am happy to work with them. And I'm wonderful too, Jackie.
Yes, you are. You are wonderful. Yeah. That's why you're back for the fourth week.
No, he's not awful. He's wonderful.
He's wonderful. Andy, last week we talked about termites, and the two previous weeks we talked about bed bugs. So today, what little creatures
can we discuss? Well, I thought we'd start with carpenters and see where that takes us and maybe touch on roaches.
Okay.
No touch the roaches.
No touch the roaches? I brought some in. Chocolate-covered roaches. Mm. Yeah.
Yummy. Okay, so carpenter ants, which is also a wood-destroying insect.
Yes.
All right, Let's talk about them. Are all black ants that we see in the springtime and the summer considered a carpenter ant?
No. There's probably about 30 different kinds of ants that we run into. And generally, the large black ants that we run into are typically the carpenter ants. We have to look at the nodes and the mandibles to tell for sure. But carpenter ants are a very serious issue. Second most destructive insect in the United States behind termites. So they
what
can do a
do
lot of damage.
Carpenter ants eat?
A lot of people think they eat wood, but they actually don't eat wood. They carve out wood to nest in it. Okay, so sometimes that's one of the signs that we see for carpenters occasionally. We call it frass, but it looks like pencil shavings or sawdust that these carpenters are pushing out of their galleries, their nests. Now, their primary food source is other insects. They prefer to feed on insects. Now, that actually has made it difficult for us in the industry to control them because they don't go for the baits that we commonly use. Occasionally, they'll feed on some of them, but we really have to directly go after the carpenter ants and kill the carpenter ants with materials, not so much baits, because they prefer to feed on other insects.
So what do? You get into their nests? Is that how you go right after the heart of them? Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Well, they're so secretive, they can be hard to find the nest, but this is one of the things I used to really enjoy as a technician. And I'll have to kind of explain that. I enjoyed treating carpenter ants. Okay. For years, when you're treating for insects, you treat and you keep your fingers crossed. And if you don't hear back from the customer, you knew you did a good job. But, spiders, you don't really know. You think you got them, but you don't know. But with carpenter ants, we do a few different things. But one of the things we do is hunt for the carpenter ant nests.
You hunt for them.
Yeah. We take a tool. It's a powder ball with a thin metal tube, kind of a rubber ball that we puff a fine dust out the tip of the tube. And we'll actually go around a home or blow a dust up underneath the siding, around windows, some trees, sill plates in basements, those areas. And you blow this dust in there. And that dust is designed to do two things. Certainly kill them, one, but it also stirs them up, gets them moving. So as you're treating, you kind of look back a couple of feet that you just treated. And if you see a couple of carpenters coming out, you think you might have got a nest. So you really flood that with the dust. It floats deep in there. And all of a sudden, you got hundreds, sometimes thousands of carpenters coming out and dying, coated with the white dust. And you know you got the nest. And so there's a lot of satisfaction in that type of treatment for us in the industry, because we'll know we did a good job for that customer. We'll be able to show them the results right then and there. So it's pretty cool.
Now, I heard a story, I don't know if this is true, but a guy would use a stethoscope and he would listen on the walls to see if he could hear them scratching and crawling in there. Is that?
That's actually true. You can sometimes hear them like that. I actually can hear them sometimes without the stethoscope.
Really?
I had them one time. It's unusual to see them. That's in areas where there's not some dampness or moisture, but I actually had them in a hollow door, and I could hear them really carving away in there. In a hollow door of a bedroom. Yeah, they were actually in there, and that's just where they decided to nest. It was a good place for them to get in, and I guess the queen got in there and started laying eggs, and that's where they took off. But yeah.
You could hear it.
Yeah, you can hear it. You can hear them carving it sometimes. A lot of people tell me they hear them more at night, and that's actually true. They're primarily nocturnal. You see some during the day, just small fraction of them, but they're really active at night. So when it's really quiet at night, sometimes you hear that carving, that scraping. But it's very minute, and sometimes you need a stethoscope to hear it. It's hard to hear through walls, but you can hear it sometimes.
Wow.
So certainly if you hear anything like that, call, get your house checked. Have an expert, go around with the expert, see what they're seeing. Sometimes we'll see that frass or sawdust. Sometimes we'll actually see the ants going in and out somewhere, and we'll strongly suspect a nest is in there, and you'll be able to tell.
So finding them early is really crucial because they're destructive.
Yeah, and you know, they're one of the insects that you have to be very careful with. They are secretive. So not only are they primarily nocturnal, they like to nest on or near exterior walls. Now, again, they don't eat the wood. They carve it out to nest in. Their main food source is other insects that they find predominantly outside. So you may see a lot around your deck, and you may think, they're outside. They're not inside. Well, they could be inside. They could be in your walls carving out the wood and nesting it. So we always tell people to be aware. I had a situation one time where a customer developed a roof leak. Never saw any carpenter ants inside his house. Developed a roof leak near the gutter. Now, with gutters, there's a little dampness. Sometimes there's a little leafy buildup. So moisture, which can be really conducive to carpenter ants and a bunch of other insects. So anyway, he developed a roof leak, called a roofer. The roofer came out, pulled up the shingles, and found this huge carpenter ant nest in there. The eggs, the queens, and that's literally what caused that roof leak. So that's when he knew he had a problem. You just have to be careful with these wood-destroying insects. Termites, carpenter ants, it's oftentimes better just to consult a professional.
Right. Now, treatment for termites is more expensive than carpenter ants.
Yes.
But they're both very destructive.
Right, yeah. Yeah, treatments for termites can be 10 times more costly than carpenter ants. Carpenter ant treatments, the cost can range anywhere from $180 to $325, you know, to get rid of carpenter ants from your home. A lot of times when we see carpenter ants around your house, we look not just in the home, but we look on the property. We want to see if there's nests in nearby trees, you know, that we can address and deal with. Carpenter ants really love particular types of trees. Maple trees, the heart of woods, they like to carve out and nest into. Not so much the pines, but maples, sometimes oaks, different things like that. And if we can see them there, we can reduce and at least contain them to the trees. And sometimes when we see that kind of thing, unless they're prepared to get rid of the trees and eliminate that, which I would, and I like my trees, but we talk about sometimes four-time year services or just some type of ongoing prevention to make sure that never happens again. But yeah, good question.
What can homeowners do to reduce the odds of getting carpenter ants?
All right, I'm glad you asked. Actually, there's a lot of things they can do, Pat. Keeping the leaf litter and the debris away from the homes, keeping things dry around the homes is always beneficial. Moisture and a good place to live is most of the time what carpenter ants are looking for in your home. So you want to keep that moisture away. You want to make sure if your windows are seeping, you seal and caulk things thoroughly. Log piles. You know, you want to keep log piles away from your home, certainly, but sometimes it's not beneficial to bring a lot of wood into your home in the fall and the winter months like we have now, because you could have nests of carpenter ants that have gone dormant because it's wintertime, mm-hmm. not hibernation. They kind of go into a dormancy. And you could actually carry the nest into some rough-looking firewood into your home. And then when you get into a warm house, all of a sudden you have carved ants near your fireplace or in the areas where you're storing the wood. So you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Always, you know, if you're going to store wood into your house, make sure it's clean, not hollowed out like carpenter ants would do, galleries. And just kind of bring in just what you need and leave most of it outside until you're almost ready to use it.
Yeah, they had an oak tree in our yard they cut down years ago, and it was, I think there was millions of them that came out of there. It was like big black ants everywhere because the tree was dead, and they were and this was a huge tree, and they cut them down, and they were angry ants.
Did you see the ones with wings?
I don't know. I gotta get them in the chipper and get rid of that thing.
But it's amazing how big these nests of ants can be.
Oh, the whole center of the tree was hollow.
Thousands and thousands. And they go right for the core because not only are they looking for a good place to nest, but they eat that sap sometimes. That's part of what they eat.
Yeah, it was a...
They do have winged reproducers, male and female drones that fly up, attempt to mate, and the female's going off to create a new colony as the queen. And she's looking for that moisture, that damp wood. So if you kind of have a seeping window frame, or, you know, you get a little moisture in your window frame, you really want to address that quickly before that female can get in there and start laying eggs and start that nest multiplying. So you want to get on top of that. But if you do see hundreds of the winged reproducers coming out all of a sudden, save some, okay? They're less similar to termite swarmers than other ants are. Smaller soil ants can be very similar to termite swarmers, but they do tell us what the issue is. So we always want to have the ant to identify it. And at Orkin, we come out no charge for inspections. Some companies do. Some companies charge for inspections. We don't. We're happy to come out, check something out thoroughly for you. So if you suspect activity, please call somebody. Let us come out and take a look and show you if there's a problem or not. Okay? Does it make sense?
So putting baits around the exterior of the home or by the doorways or around the walls, and that can of ant spray is not going to eliminate these creatures.
Carpenter ants are a little tougher than the normal ant. You may have success with smaller ants, Faroe ants, soil ants, Argentinian house ants, odorous house ants, different types of ants. You could have success with that, but not so much with carpenter ants. They are a tough bug. They are big black ants, and it doesn't tend to work. I actually had a gentleman one time. He was trying for months to get rid of his carpenter ants. His wife kept telling him, just call somebody. But now he'd buy another spray and do this and that. And, you know, I don't know how many times he was spraying his house, but he sprayed everywhere, inside and outside. We don't even do that. We target our applications specifically where we have concerns, especially outside. But we really target our applications. But he was spraying. And he would still get ants. He would kill some, still get ants. Finally, one evening, I told you they're primarily nocturnal. He's asleep in bed, 1 o'clock in the morning. He feels something crawl across his face. So he turned the light, he found out it was carpenter ants. He said, that's it. The wife was laughing about this. She would love this. She said, that's it. Just call somebody. I don't care who you call. Just get rid of these ants. And that was his last straw.
Yeah, my friend had a log home, and they were in the exposed rafters, you know, because there were logs. He had them in there, and he had a big problem. He had a colon.
Yeah.
Had to come and take care of it.
Oh, yeah. Log homes. You know, this is something else that's interesting, too. Treated wood isn't impervious to carpenter ants. Carpenter ants just carve out wood to nest in it. They're not eating that. So even log homes, decks, you can get carpenter ants in this type of wood. They can do a lot of damage to that. Now, less so to other types of wood, the pines that we build our homes with. That's a nice soft wood, easy wood for them to carve into. But, you have to be careful with all types of wood.
So you treat for carpenter ants. You never get them again?
Well, you know.
How often do you have to treat once you find them? How long does the treatment last? Those are my kind of questions.
Every home's a little different. So we always like to inspect a house and decide what's best long term to stay on top of this and make sure it happens. It doesn't happen again. But, you know, homes that are in the woods or have a lot of conducive conditions nearby, we often do recommend a 4-time-a-year service. Just 4 times a year, that's all we have to do, and give full warranties in between. Then if they see a single carpenter ant, we'll come out at no charge and take care of it. It will take care of a multitude of insects, but yeah, generally we talk about a 4-time-a-year service with these wood-destroying insects that you just don't want to take a chance with.
There's a lot of damage that they can cause, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, all right. We're going to head towards a break. Andy, could you give me your contact information at Orkin, please?
Yes. Orkin Pest Control, 1-800-261-2847. Again, that's Orkin, 1-800-261-2847.
Thank you. Pat?
Yes. We have a three-bedroom home at 637 Hickory Street in Scranton for $34,000. This is a home where some cosmetic work will go a long way. It could use some carpeting, paint, and TLC. That would make all the difference in this home. It also has a two-car garage, and yes, the price is correct. That's a bargain at 637 Hickory Street in Scranton, a three-bedroom home with a two-car garage for only $34,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thanks. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about cockroaches with Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Thanks for tuning in. We have returned. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
And we're back, and I'm worried about carpenter ants. Now what do I have to worry about in the next segment?
I know.
With us today is Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. Yes. We're having a delightful discussion regarding carpenter ants. And now we have new worries, right, Pap?
Yes.
Okay, so is there a time? We're going to move into a discussion regarding cockroaches in just a moment. But just to move on from carpenter ants, there's a couple questions I still have.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a time when you can't find them, you don't see them, you can't inspect in winter months, colder months?
No, actually, you can find them year-round. Now, I had a situation recently. I was out training an inspector, and we were at a customer's house, and I was looking for the frass, the sawdust I was talking about. Now, we were in the basement at the time, unfinished basement. And, you know, on top of the foundation wall, you have your sill board, your header board, and your joists coming out for that. And there was some insulation, pieces of insulation between each pocket or whatever you want to call it above the sill plate. I saw some frass around one of them. And I told the inspector, I said, we should pull that insulation so we can take a closer look and see what's going on behind it, you know. And so we got a ladder. He went up and he pulled the insulation. And after the third piece, that's when we found about 100 carpenter ants. They were just sitting there huddled together in a kind of a dormancy stage. They definitely were nesting behind that insulation in the header board at the time. And that's the frass or the sawdust I saw from that was stuff they were pushing out that we can see. So we can find them anytime. And we were able to actually treat for them now. Now, we weren't out to do a carpenter inspection. We were actually checking for some other winter-invading pests, but spiders, really. But it was nice that we found that we could address at the same time for the homeowner. So carpenter ants are truly one of those insects we can inspect for year-round.
So you never have problems treating carpenter ants? There's no time where you've been...
Oh.
Befuddled.
You know, this is I love pest control, and I love the mystery of trying to figure out what's going wrong, even when you think you did everything right. And you can treat every home. Every home's different. Every situation's different. Well, I had one situation one time where I treated this house for carpenter ants. He had them. And a couple weeks later, he still had some activity, so I treated again. Well, about 7 days later, he still had some activity, and I went out there. And I'm really looking around this house. I'm trying to figure out, what am I missing? Because I usually don't miss much. Carpenter ants, for a trained expert, really aren't that difficult. But one thing that's interesting about carpenters is they follow lines or trails, you know, pheromone trails. Like most ants, they'll create a pheromone trail, scent trail to and from different food sources or a moisture source or something like that. And I'm looking around his house with him, and I see a retractable clothesline. It was a clothesline that just rolled up and kind of was on the exterior wall of his house. And I asked him, I said, oh, that goes out to that post out there. And he said, yeah. He said, I usually unravel that before you come, roll it up, because I don't want you spraying my clothesline. Well, I wasn't going to spray his clothesline, but I said, oh, well, let's just roll it back out there. And out by the post, he had a large tree that had some carpentries in it, and it really wasn't long after we unraveled that, that we saw some ants going up that post and crawling across that line into his house. And that was really a situation where, you know, it was like 40, 50 feet away from the house. I really just kind of missed that. But I treated that tree and solved that problem for him. But it was really interesting to me that that's what it was. I figured it out. We solved the guy's problem. He was very happy. And he understood why it was a little difficult in that situation for him to take care of it initially. But yeah.
You have to be a super sleuth.
Sometimes it seems that way.
Yeah, you have to figure it out because every situation is different.
Right.
Okay, cockroaches. Ugh.
Yeah, these are great.
Lovely creatures that they are.
No. I'm from New York. They're not great.
Yeah, years ago, it's amazing. Years ago, roaches used to be the number one reason people picked the phone and called Orkin. And then we've improved dramatically the way we treat for roaches using newer types of baits, that now they're not the number one reason. The number one reason now people pick up the phone and call Orkin is ants. They're having problems with ants. And a lot of times it's not carpenters, it's smaller ants. But it's really amazing to me the way the industry has changed over the years.
And you can find them a lot in warmer climates, you know, in the south. But we do have our fair share of cockroach problems in the Northeast.
They call them pretty names down south.
Yeah.
What is it, the pimento bug or something?
Yeah. They're big water bugs.
roaches.
Big roach.
A roach is a roach.
But, you know, they're not easy to get rid of.
Not typically. They can be very difficult in certain situations. But like I said, we've gotten better. Now, years ago, when I first started as a technician, 22 years ago, we used to spray and fog for roaches. People had to empty out their kitchen cabinets,
right.
And they had to leave. And we had to treat every nook, crack, and crevice with a residual pesticide, really. And then we would do a little fogging. And these roaches, it was awful. Sometimes these, mostly German roaches, that's the most common roach we run into. The smaller ones get about an inch long. But they would crawl away from our materials and crawl up the walls and crawl halfway across the ceiling sometimes.
And drop on you.
Yeah, you start dying and it start raining roaches. It was really horrible sometimes to be a technician. But it needed to be done, so... There's a lot of us that did it.
I have a roach story.
Okay.
You have a roach story?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was a fireman in Brooklyn, and I was in East New York, Brownsville, that kind of a neighborhood, and it was an old building, a four-story walk-up, and they had an incinerator, and they had converted the incinerator. People would go and drop their trash in a shaft.
Yeah.
They would go into the basement, and they used to burn it, but they had... they converted it to a compactor. Mm-hmm. So now all the garbage is in the basement, and they had a fire... in the compactor in the basement, and we went up onto this floor, and it was full of smoke, and I looked, and I says, the walls are moving. The walls weren't moving. There was about a million roaches
everywhere,
trying to get away from the smoke and the fire. And after we put out the fire, we got outside, and we shook out all our clothes, and we went back, and we took a shower, and that's my nightmare roach story.
Yeah, you probably had them on you.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I absolutely did. We had roaches in the rig, I bet, after that.
We treated many fire station for roaches. For that reason alone, or bed bugs or whatever else they might bring home with them. It can be, your job can be tough,
too. No, not anymore. It's not. I'm an old broken down fireman. I'm retired.
All right. Nice.
Okay. So the good news is the material's available now. You've come a long way. You can do better with getting rid of them.
The baits are very effective. And really, the way the newer types of baits that we have available to us in the industry, it works interestingly and fantastically well. Roaches will be in nests or pockets of roaches. These baby roaches, and we'll look for their fecal matter, little fine pepper-looking materials. to find these nests or pockets, but sometimes they're in appliances and wall voids, and you can't always find them. So this newer generations of baits that we're using now, gel bait, GEL, you're applying a small caulk gun, putting little dabs in the nooks, cracks, and crevices where roach commonly are. They'll feed on it. This is where it sounds lovely, okay? This bait actually passes through its system. Doesn't kill them right away. It'll go back to that nest or pocket roach in the wall void or the appliance, wherever. Enough of that bait will pass through its system. You know, baby roaches, the really, really small ones, the nymphs, actually feed on the fecal matter of the adult roach. But enough bait will pass through its system. We're killing 20 baby roaches every time one adult roach feeds on our bait. It really works tremendously well. Not just killing the ones you see, but the ones you don't see.
So, okay.
Yeah. Does that sound good?
Comforting. Very
yeah.
comforting.
I brought some roach bait if you want some.
No, thanks.
It tastes much better, too.
We will pass.
You'll pass? No.
Uh-huh. Okay. So cockroaches are a health issue, are they not?
For two reasons. Yeah, well, for more than two reasons, I imagine. But, their fecal matter can pile up. It's known it can set off asthma and allergy attacks, so it's horribly unhealthy to have in your house. And then certainly sanitation issues of having them in your kitchen, cooking, you know, and near your food and all that wonderful stuff. But one of the things that makes me freak out, and whenever I hear this from a customer, I'm like, the really small ones can crawl into your ears and stuff like that. They don't typically do that. It's rare, but I've heard stories. I had a lady tell me with two kids, she and her two kids had to go to the ER, you know, a few times over the past year just to have their ears flushed and get rid of a roach or two that might have been in there. They crawl in the darndest places. So yeah, it's something you don't want to deal with, shouldn't have to deal with, and we just really need to get on top of them quickly whenever we run into them. So it's scary.
I'm going to have nightmares now.
Yeah, you really are.
Thanks a lot.
So, between
my hallway
the bed
story
bugs.
Doesn't sound so bad now with roaches in my ears.
Between the bed bugs and the cockroaches and the carpenter ants and the termites. And we have a lot more to discuss with you, Andy Tay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I want to ask you a trivia question. This is one of my favorite trivia questions. The German roach, most common roach in the whole world. Okay, is in every country in the whole world is called the German roach, except for Germany. What do they call it? Do you have a guess?
The American roach.
The American roach, of course, right?
Really?
No, it's not.
Oh.
No, they call it the French roach.
Oh, the French roach.
They call it the French roach. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they've been going on over there for a couple hundred years.
So. I think it's interesting, but we name all these insects a lot of times for where they're first studied and scientifically documented. So the German roach in Germany, of course. Oriental roach in the Orient, that's the second most common roach that we run into. It's your water bug, your oriental roach, or your sewer roach. It's still a roach. It's still horribly unhealthy to have around. The American brown-banded roach is one that has the American name. So we run into them. I think that's neat. Now, a carpenter ant is actually first documented and studied here in Pennsylvania. So it's Carpenter Pennsylvanius. So if you really look at this stuff, I kind of think it's neat. But anyway, trivia question for you.
And wow.
You failed,
bug,
Jackie.
Bug, I know,
bug,
I failed.
Bug trivia.
Well, I can't say that I read up on this stuff or have any interest in it. I mean, I'd rather just never ever think about it.
She's going to call the bug man. She's calling you.
She's calling the orcs like me.
But you do know your stuff. So it is amazing. So we had an excellent discussion with you today. Will you come back next week?
I'd love to come back next week, Jackie.
Before we close, Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. May I have your contact info, please?
Yes, Orkin, 1-800-261-2847. Again, that's 1-800-261-2847. Call for a free inspection. We're happy to come out and check things out for you.
Thanks, Andy. Pat?
You're welcome.
Yes, we have a well-built and well-maintained home at 245 Poplar Street in Dixon City for only $99,000. This two-bedroom, two-bath home has a newer gas boiler, a new roof, a rear covered deck, hardwood floors, and a lovely garden with peach and apple trees. It also has a very nice two-car detached garage, all on a flat lot 150 feet deep. That's a well-maintained two-bedroom, two-bath home with a two-car garage at 245 Poplar Street in Dixon City for only $99,000.
Peach, apple, and pear trees.
Oh, the pear tree. I missed the pear tree.
Yes. Can't forget about the pear. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker.